moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just gonna try to cross the street. I'm gonna try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Thanks. Welcome to the Far East Travels Podcast. John Sabo here from Siem Reap, Cambodia, walking the streets here, the quiet streets of Siem Reap. And I've also invited my Twitter Periscope live stream followers to join in on the conversation. It is very quiet, highly unusual for the peak season. This is the peak season of travel in Southeast Asia. And Siem Reap should be just packed, and it's very quiet here. So I'm going to have an update for you in this episode of the podcast, so thanks for listening. So so far, as of the date of this broadcast, the last couple of days, the cases have slowed down slightly in China, but they say not to get too excited about that, that it's still too early in the game to start thinking that they're getting it under control. Here, so far in Cambodia, there's only been one case that we've officially heard of that was reported. Not sure if the man has been released yet. He's 60 years old, from Wuhan, traveling with family members, I believe three family members, none of which were affected caught the virus from the member of their family. And the man last report was still stable in the hospital in Sihanoukville. And that's the only official case we have here. If that's real, that's actually less cases than in Canada right now. In Canada, there's three cases of it. More in the United States, of course. But I just want to focus on Asia, because I've been getting a lot of response personally from people that listen to my podcast, and people that follow me on Twitter, Periscope, YouTube. All that are making plans to come here or have plans already to come here. Well, you know, we don't know. I mean, everybody could be underreporting for that matter, right? So, I mean, everybody could be underreporting. We don't know. And somebody's saying France got four cases. I mean, there's cases in a lot of Western countries. It's not unusual. So all I can do is tell you what we have officially reported, you know. Whether there's more or not, you know, who knows. But Vietnam has 12 cases confirmed, and about 1,500 people under quarantine right now. Vietnam has shut off any visitors from China from getting a tourist visa. And anybody that's traveled in China within 14 days will be refused entry. So if you've been to China and you have only been out of China for 10 days, you won't be allowed into Vietnam. That's the latest report I've got. They're not issuing visas to anybody coming from China at this time. And that's starting to happen with other countries as well. Hong Kong is now officially quarantining everybody, or will put everybody in quarantine from mainland China for 14 days. What else have I got here? 16 reports in Malaysia, one in Nepal, three Philippines. Again, this is just news sources that I've got online. So these would be reports coming from the government. So whether these are all real numbers or not, like, who knows, but all we can go by are these numbers at the moment. India has several cases. They have actually a few thousand people under surveillance, home surveillance right now. They're just keeping them at home. A Qantas flight back to Wuhan was stuck in, did you say Hong Kong, David? David in Melbourne is saying that there's a flight, a Qantas flight in limbo right now in Hong Kong. That's interesting. Yeah, so I mean, you know, a lot of the countries here in Southeast Asia have stopped allowing any flights coming in from China. And then whatever China is not allowing in, of course, is, or not allowing outbound is not going out anywhere as well. So, I mean, there's been lots of people. I know I've heard reports from different travel bureaus that people are canceling their plans. And of course, if you know you had plans to go through China or China was a part of your itinerary, then yeah, that's probably a good idea at this point. But if you have plans to come to Southeast Asia in the next few weeks, I would really reconsider, you know, canceling those plans at this point. And so they can't get into China to pick up Australians. Well, that's a shame. That's really challenging. So, as I said, I mean, you know, these numbers, you know, if you consider the population of Vietnam, they have 12 cases and there's 94 million people. I mean, the odds of you coming in contact with anybody that's carrying the virus at this time, especially now that they've blocked the borders or not allowing people in from China, is probably going to be pretty slim. But again, that's a personal choice that you'll have to make. I've also, you know, heard of people canceling plans to go to, like, countries that, you know, just aren't affected, like here in Southeast Asia, but had layovers in China. Which, I mean, I can understand that. I can understand why you'd want to cancel that. Again, I don't know what the odds are if you're stopping through Beijing that you're going to come into contact with anybody carrying that virus. But again, that's your personal decision. And if you're not comfortable traveling, then you shouldn't. But, you know, for places like here, you know, now is actually, as I said in one of my other broadcasts, it's a quite a rare opportunity to travel in this region during peak season and have incredible rates and you know, not very many crowds at the major sites. Like I think I was quite surprised at Angkor Wat and the Angkor Ruins, the whole archaeological site, when I was there a couple of days ago. I think how few people that were there that, you know, normally this is not the case for the peak season. So, and where I am right now, somebody's asking me, who's watching the live stream, I'm actually walking, I'm in Siem Reap, which is the gateway to Angkor Wat, and this is Sa Cha, the old market, is to my left. Yeah, so 15 cases in Australia. And, it, you know, it's relatively quiet around here. I'm not going to go near Pub Street because it's quite... It gets quite loud down that way, and I listened to my last broadcast when I was editing it, and it was like a little bit hard to take it sometimes. So I wanted to walk around a quieter spot where there's still people walking around, and you can see there's lots of people here. And people that I've been talking to from different parts of the world, like the United States or Canada or South Africa, have been contacting me and, you know, wondering what the situation is like here, and they've already made plans to come. So, I mean, you know, I think the chances of you coming in contact with anybody that's carrying this virus in places like this are going to be almost next to nothing, very slim anyways. I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to repeat myself. I was in Seoul, South Korea, a few years ago during the MERS outbreak. There was a MERS scare outbreak and a few thousand cases in South Korea. And I chose to go. I thought the odds, I know there's 25 million people that live in, or roughly 25 million people that live in the Seoul area. I thought that it might... you know, my odds of catching a virus would be pretty slim. So I decided to go, and I had a brilliant, you know, hotel and amazing rate, and all of the palaces were free that month. So I think the other thing I wanted to pass on as well, absolutely, people are accepting travel reservations here. Now, what's going on here? Here's a little bit of an insider tip. As far as the hotels go, a lot of hotels are pulling some of their rooms off of Booking.com or Agoda. And I think they're doing that because these are the more inexpensive rooms and they don't want to have to pay a commission. If they're not selling very, very much inventory, they would rather sell it directly to people. So basically, no, it's just after 7 p.m. here. It's just around 7 p.m. Basically, you can go back to old school and basically just show up at a lot of places and get something on the spot here. Like for this time of year, it's almost, you know, it's just a very rare thing for that to happen. So, I mean, there's lots of opportunity here, but when you go online and check with on Agoda or Booking.com or any of the sites, you might not see the rooms that normally are available, but you can still book them, but you'll have to book them directly with the hotel. You'll get a great rate, but they're trying to, I believe, what I'm seeing what they're doing is trying to save. If they're not going to have a lot of inventory sold, they want to make as much off the inventory that they have, so they're going to save on paying the commissions out to the booking agents. So there's a lot of opportunity just to show up at the last minute and get rooms. You won't have a hard time doing that if you already are set to come here and plan on traveling. I talked to another couple from that are traveling through Vietnam right now, having a wonderful time. You know, they were actually having a hard. They asked me for a recommendation for a guest house in Hanoi, and I gave them one of my recommendations, and the place was booked up. So there's a lot, of course, still in places like Vietnam, there's a lot of locals traveling as well within the region. But there's certainly lots of travel bargains right now here. And you can go the old way and just show up. There's going to be lots of inventory available. But that's what I'm seeing is I believe a lot of guest houses, hotels are pulling their cheaper rooms off of their listings and only putting their premium rooms up, but you can still get those rooms. Those rooms are still available. So yeah, so it's pretty quiet around here. This is where I'm walking right now around the old market, just outside of the Pub Street area, where it's, you know, a little more busy, and there are some crowds down there. There are people down here, but I took a walk through last night through the Pub Street area, and a lot of the restaurants that have seating that's right, you know, right on the main walking street area were maybe half full. Some might have been three quarters full at peak time. I'm just gonna walk in, get a little bit closer to where the crowds are, and see if we can get a little bit more idea of the seating tonight. It's Saturday night here, and Dave's also saying from Melbourne that Virgin Australia stopped flying to Hong Kong because they were losing money. What kind of food are they making? Well, there's a lot of these ice cream roll places here. They have the fried ice cream that's a big deal. And hey, Barb. Barb's dropping in and saying hi from Canada. So Khmer Kitchen Restaurant is a very famous restaurant in Siem Reap. I think they have two or three locations, the Khmer Kitchen Restaurant. This one's maybe a quarter full that I'm walking past right now. It should be full. Should be full at this time of night. Some of the places are a little more full than others. The Viva Mexican place is, they're always pretty busy. They're almost, I'd say 75%. There's lots of night entertainment here. Yeah, absolutely. There's this kind, which is kind of like the Farang, you know, the Foreigner Street, Gringoland place, where all the foreigners come and drink and stuff. But there's lots of options. There's like the sort of the quieter neighborhoods that are more local and there's cultural performances that you can take in. There's lots of stuff to do here. It's actually a great travel town. There's tons of options for hotels and guest houses, even when it's busy, even when the season is normal. I'm going to walk a little where it's not too loud. I'm going to walk a little ways down part of the pub street here. Yeah, there's lots of little alleys in this area as well. They have really nice little quieter restaurants and boutique shops. These 5 years ago there was no ice cream roll places here. It's a big thing, but I see these all around Asia. They kind of make the ice cream for you on the spot. I don't have the patience for that. I don't eat normal ice cream anymore anyways, but when I order something like that, I just want to get it right away. I can't wait 15 minutes or 10 minutes. You can see, you get an idea. One of the restaurants I'm walking past right now is maybe about 50% full. It should be almost packed at this time of the night, at this time of year. And then I'm just out on Savutha Boulevard here, which is one of the busiest streets in Siem Reap. There's night markets off of this street. I think maybe the last broadcast I walked down one of the, there's a night market street down this way. Temperatures right now, probably about 25 Celsius. I'm working on a couple of videos. I should have them up next week on my day visit to Angkor Wat and the temples, and also a Siem Reap at night video. So I'll be working on those in the next few days, and I'll have those up on my YouTube channel, so check that out. Yeah, it's very pleasant. Very pleasant in the evening. Cools down. One of the restaurants here that has their walks out in the open. They do all the stir fries and grilling and everything. It's kind of neat. But John Sabo is my YouTube channel. Just John Sabo, my name. And you can also follow me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram. The whole thing is, I definitely think there is some concern about when you're thinking about traveling right now in Asia, but there's certain places that, you don't really need to worry about as much. Obviously, nice to meet you, John. The travel advisories that came out by from a lot of Western countries that I announced, I think almost 2 weeks ago, were spot on. They said, we advise you not to travel to China unless it's, some kind of an emergency or necessity. And we definitely say do not go to Hubei province. So that was a couple of weeks ago, and I totally agree with those advisories. And to date right now, as far as I have seen, none of the Western countries are advising their citizens to stay away from Southeast Asia. So until that happens, I still think it's relatively safe. I see people wearing masks in different parts of Southeast Asia, and a lot of them don't work anyways. And a lot of medical professionals are saying the masks, don't worry about the masks, just keep your hands clean, wash your hands, don't touch your face with your hands. That's normal for the cold and flu season. That's just normal practice that you should be doing anyways. But those surgical masks that people are wearing are almost not effective. I mean, they're probably better than nothing. But if you really want to, protect yourself if you're in a closed area like an airplane or a bus, then you'd need like an N95 mask or... there's a Korean one, it's called, I think it's an MP94, but you need to use a mask that virtually blocks out any particles from coming in, and you need a seal on that. You need, you know, you need the mask to cover your face and cover your breathing area with no open spots. And those surgical masks, cheap surgical masks you buy, they don't do that. You literally have to tape them on your skin, and even then that might not work. This is like a movie house over here. And then just walking up to the roundabout here on Sevuka Boulevard. Yeah, there's a fair amount of scooters here or motorbikes. Good proportion of cars to motorbikes for, you know, a relatively developing country. Most people, for taking rides here, most people take the remorque or the Khmer tuk-tuk. And those are everywhere here. You can't escape those at all. So this is, I'm just going to walk past the night market here. Oh, there's police everywhere. There's police police boxes. I don't film or photograph police. They don't like it in most of these countries. And they'll ask you to stop if you try to take a picture of them or video them. But there's police boxes around Pub Street, and there are police everywhere. This is the little night market here next to the Siem Reap River that I'm walking past right now. And, you know, it's... it's pretty quiet around here. There's crime here, yeah. Sure. I don't know. I don't have the statistics at all. I mean, for as far as tourists, what they need to worry about is mostly just the petty theft, bag snatching. Like, you know, I'm walking around with this rig right now. It's probably not the safest thing to do with my phone on a selfie stick and a stereo recorder. But, you know, as far as like nasty violent crime, it's pretty rare here against tourists. No, there's no McDonald's in Taiwan, in Cambodia. That's a good question. McDonald's... It hasn't done well in Vietnam. It, not well at all. So I don't know if that's why they've resisted on starting out in Cambodia, or they still don't feel the market is strong enough here. But McDonald's had, I think, more locations than they do now in Vietnam, and they pulled them back. It just wasn't working. You know, they have the banh mi in Vietnam, and you can buy a really nice banh mi sandwich for $1. So it's pretty hard to compete against that with a Big Mac for $4 or whatever they charge, $4 or $5. And people just aren't used to eating beef on a bun. So the beef on a bun thing just didn't really work well. So I think they've added more chicken products to their menu, and chicken and rice and things like that. The other thing, you can't get pancakes at McDonald's in Vietnam either. They don't sell pancakes. It's not a big thing there. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty hard, especially in a place like Vietnam that has amazing food and lots of really good, inexpensive, fast, quick street food that people can get for, you know, international fast food chains to compete. Now, Vietnam does have beautiful beaches, somebody's saying, yeah. No, they don't have pancakes in Vietnam. So if you want pancakes at McDonald's, you got to go to Malaysia. Malaysia, they have them. But there's no McDonald's in Cambodia. There's Starbucks here now. They weren't here 5 years ago. There's actually a lot of international chains that weren't here five years ago that have sprung up just in the last few years here. But I say if you're up for it, you know, now could be a really good time to come to Southeast Asia and travel. You'll have lots of places to choose from to stay, and not a lot of crowds.
No seven.
You love the McDonald's pancakes. I still eat them. I don't really eat at McDonald's at all, but I still have pancakes. if they had them in Vietnam. The roads get a little bit dusty around here. Those surgical masks would be okay for keeping the dust out, but not for preventing any, catching any flus or anything. So thanks a lot for listening. And if you want to touch base with me at all, you can message me on Facebook, the Far East Travels Podcast. You can follow me on the Far East Travels Podcast Facebook page, or John Sabo Official or Far East Travels. And then on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels, and or just send me an email, john@fareasttravels.com. And you can support the podcast as well by becoming a patron, and patrons get access to exclusive content. I actually am going to be uploading a private episode of the Far East Travels Podcast for patrons. And it was, actually, I did a short little podcast from the top, from the Tomb Raider Temple, the other day in Angkor Wat. So I'm going to just share that with my patrons. And if you want to listen to that, then just follow the link in the show notes and check out the offers. Certain offers get certain exclusive content on my Patreon page. So just follow that link. Thanks a lot. From Siem Reap, Cambodia, this is John Sabo. Until next time, I wish you safe travels. And namaste.